Welcome to Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. I'm glad that I'm not one that has to be thankful once a year. I thank God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit every day, usually hour by hour, just for not only existence, but to have an abundant life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. He makes it so when I look at the sky, I know it wasn't me that made it. I know it was him. I know he was faithful to allow the sun to come up, allow me to see the moon and to go down and see the sunset on the ocean. All the beautiful things of God that he allows us when we have a relationship with him. I'm going to review a little bit of what we had last time. If you're there, and if you weren't, that's okay. Because I have something new. I always want to give you guys fresh bread. I don't ever give anything that has not been prayed over and looked over. And so I want you to know that it's not me, it's the Lord. I can do nothing with him, without him. And I need him every moment of the day. So I'm thankful for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another season. The entire world looks on you with thanksgiving. Not only America, I'm hearing, you know, even in Rome, they're serving the poor. So I know that you're on the minds of our people. We see so many things that have been so devastating within the last month or so. On the West Coast has been fire, and on the East Coast has been ice. So, Lord, it reminds us that maybe your Bible is true. Maybe you are coming and going to return soon. But if you don't, Lord, I'll be thankful just to hold on to your unchanging hand and to try to attract and bring as many people to you and your kingdom and not my own. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask these blessings. Amen. Okay, we were dealing with Proverbs 8 and the need for the wisdom of God, and that wisdom is respect for the truth, and that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom is learning who God really is and who he is forever, developing a relationship with him. We found out that our whole life is about relationships. How do you relate to him? Do you know him? Do you know there's a God? We want you to know that the Lord wants to show you that who he is. But our mindset when we come into this world is egocentric. And we are centered on ourselves. And so we worship ourselves. We end up loving ourselves more than we love the Lord. We love ourselves sometimes more than we should in regards to how we bask in doing the things that please our flesh. And the thing that happens with us when we get saved and we turn to the Lord, the process starts in regards to God trying to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and to clean us up. And that we have Jesus Christ as our model of how to live and how to talk and how to walk. So here, and when we were talking about gaining this supernatural love so we can have a right relationship with God. According to 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us and shows us all the things that's impossible for us to do without the love of God in our heart. And if you don't have love, you don't know God. And that's what the Word wants us to know. If you're not a loving, compassionate person, you don't know God, because God is love. Last week we talked about, first of all, you had to go to Genesis 1 and realize that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's two things we learned right there. When we start our search for God, if you're a person who's an atheist and you say there's no God, you need to understand the Word is truth and you can stand by it. And if you're searching for God with all your heart, you'll come to know that. But first of all, the first thing you got to know to have a relationship with the Lord is that you got to know that he is God. He is. He says, I am. And when he said, I am, that means he's a being that existed through himself. we know he had no creator. Nobody created him. He's eternity. He's been here and he will always be here. And I'm going to tell you something. If I was God, I'd be able to explain that to you adequately. But I'm not, so I'm not even going to try. I'll just tell you that it's the truth, that God is a being who's greater than we are. So we need to first, when we start looking for God, that's the first thing we need to know. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. And when we praise him, it builds a house for him to come in and bring his presence. And when we're in his presence, it's almost as if time stops and we're able to enjoy the fullness of God. That's the secret place that he talks about. We have our prayer closets and where we get to know him by praying and reading his word. His word activates our spiritual DNA so that we can start to understand who he is. So without reading his word, you won't even know, understand God, because you still have that fleshly mind, your humanness, that part of us, that us being a human being that clashes with God. The things that you want to do, you don't do, but the things you're not supposed to do, that you do. And it's in Romans 7, but the Romans 8 starts off, but there's no condemnation for those who love God and who are in his kingdom. So stop worrying about it. Yeah, if you got saved and you're still going, you're still smoking them cancer sticks, I'm sorry to say it like that, and drinking that pop with the foam on top, don't worry about it. God can deliver you if you want him to. If you give it to him, say, Lord, come on, let's go smoke a cigarette together. You might stop eventually because he's not going to smoke no cigarette or cigar or marijuana with you. I'm sorry. I used to call it Mary Jane when I was growing up. You could grow it in your backyard when I was growing up. So it was a crazy time. But you got to understand that the Lord understands the process of sanctification. He knows what it is for you to, if you want to please him, you have to become holy. That means to become wholesome, to be perfect in your love toward him. And how do you do that? You got to love God with all your heart. You got to hate evil. You got to hate evil. You got to love sinners, but you're not supposed to love their sin. Amen. I'll say it again. To be holy means that you love God. 2, that you hate sin. 3, that you love sinners, but you don't love their sin. So we want to make sure that you know that that's what God wants you to be able to do. You got to hate sin. See, we got a problem with us. We got some lukewarm Christians and some carnal Christians who, although they're saved, they still love to sin. Amen, Walls. I know the Walls hear me now because I feel it in the atmosphere. The devils are shrinking back. But that's what God will do for you when you are filled with his spirit when you get saved. He will start the process of delivering you from all that evil. But it's still you're not going to be totally delivered until you go on to be with him. And that's when you'll be glorified. Sanctification process will no longer be. You'll be glorified. You have a new glorified body and a brand new glorified mind. No more thinking about all that stuff you used to think about. No more pornography in your life. All these other things, all that drinking, all that running around and all that stuff that we don't want to talk about that we all used to do. So we're thankful. I'm thankful to the Lord delivering me. Amen. Now, you want to know that he is also the creator, and he says he wants you to create, be a creator like him. God wants a family. He wants people who can relate to him. He's going to give you your new body and new mind so you can enjoy him throughout eternity. Amen. He wants you. He knows he gave us something very special when he gave us free will, the ability to think and talk and made in his image. So he wants a family, but he does not want a low-down, nasty, foolish family of people who are not Christ-like. He wants a family, and you can read this all in Peter. He wants a family of people who are diverse. You see all at the end when you see the book of Revelation, those who are singing in the holy choir. It says all tribes and all nations, all of us together, but all of us unique. And yet reflections of God because we are made in his image. All right. Number three, we need a Savior. If you're going to relate to God, you got to know that he sent his only begotten Son to show us how to live, because he lived down here with us for 33 and a half years when he didn't have to. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Came into the world with a hit on it. Herod was trying to kill him when he was a baby. He missed and killed all these other babies that was around between, I guess, between 2 and 4, I think, or 1. I'm not sure. It's in the Bible. Y'all go and read it for yourself if you want to get at me about that. But the holy men from the east, the Magi, they told him, we follow the star. And people said, stars don't move. How you going to follow a star? But they followed the star. Amen. The North Star is what they call it. And it led them right to where Jesus, they said the Holy One, the new King of Kings who was coming to save the world, would be born as a baby. And I know that Daniel, who had been a Magi, was the one who helped them to know that future prophecy of him coming. Next thing, once you know that he's your Savior, that you trust him because you heard the truth and know the truth, nothing but the truth to help you, God. The next thing you need to do to relate to God is to know that he is your master. That he is your master. That now that you've been saved, you belong to him. And he will start to lead, guide, and direct you into your path and your purpose in life. Number five, he's your teacher. If you allow him to be all these things, if you allow him to be your God, then you're going to know he's your creator. And if he's your creator, you're going to know that he's the savior of the world. He created it, and he wants to save it. But yet, he still wants you to realize you still have free will. In this relationship, you have free will to serve him and surrender to him or be a backslider. But the Bible says he's married to backsliders. Amen. I'm glad he is. And I know I used to slide back quite a bit. And then try to go to church on Sunday and then act like a fool. Fool on Monday. Amen. So God did what he did to me. He had a sense of humor, made me a preacher. Isn't that something? And I used to hate preachers. I used to hate them. Hate preachers. Yes, I did. So I thought they was hypocrites. And then I found out that it's easy to be a hypocrite if you're not surrendered to the master. He's the only one. You need the Lord in everything you do. You can't even forgive anybody without him. You can't. You have to say, Lord, be my forgiveness. Lord, be my love. Some days you don't want to love nobody. You only love yourself some days you get up. So God wants you to know that you need to know that he is the master of the universe. He's the creator. He wants you to be not only happy and blessed, but he wants you to be with him forever. What a God. Then when you realize that, you finally wake up and smell the roses and the coffee too, you realize he's your friend and he wants you to be his friend. He said Abraham was his friend because Abraham would do anything he asked him to do, and even to sacrifice his son. And Isaac, he was about 30 years old. Isn't that something? They went all the way to that mountain where Christ was crucified. That's where they went up to do that, where his test took place. And lo and behold, just before he's getting ready to plunge that knife into Isaac's heart, a ram was in a bush. They noticed got caught in a thicket. Wow, what a savior. And you realize when he asks you to do something, it's for your good, even if it does take time, money, and resources. Seven. He's your all in all. You realize in this relationship, no matter what, you can depend on the Lord. No matter what it looks like. Those people who were being persecuted in the time of Rome, and even in these times now, when ISIS cut throats right on the beach, they were just happy to be able to say his name in prayer. He's your all in all. He hasn't forgotten about you. No matter what you're going through right now, you might be going through a lot of mess, but he's there with you. And then that's when you realize he's your father. Wow. He opened the Jesus opens up the door and lets you come in and meet him for yourself. What a blessing that is. Okay, now, for what about human beings? Well, first thing that happens when you realize that you're trying to have a relationship with a person, you got to realize that God knows your time. He knows your being. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses. He knows your personality. He wants you to know it for yourself. The only way that can happen is you have to read his word so you'll know who you are. You don't know who you are until you know Christ. He starts to open the door. He starts to show you, because you're not a physical being, you are a spiritual being. You're a spiritual. You're a spiritual person. This body that we powder up and clean up and spend money on all the time is just an earth suit so we can relate to the world. And that's why it's all ratted. It gets all tattered and torn. As we get older, it's time is showing us that it's that we have this body, but our soul is eternal. And God can enhance it, or he can, by allowing us to he built it for the Holy Spirit. He built it for the body to hold it, but the soul holds the spirit as a vase. And then the spirit of our body holds the Holy Spirit. So you become you're still a three-part being in the image of God. But your soul has been saved. It was dead. So God made it alive by regenerating. That means almost like he put some battery cables on you and brought you to life like they did with Frankenstein. That's pretty much what we were, Frankenstein. So relationship with another human being, and you don't want to be hooked up with somebody who's not good for you. It's not good for a mule to be with a stallion. You won't be able to run together. The stallion always runs faster than you. You want to be equally yoked instead of unequally yoked with another human being. I'm talking about probably with females and male relationships. You want to make sure you understand time, that time waits for no one, and you don't want to have some love for someone that is not able to relate to you and love you. You don't want to make the wrong decision. You want to take your time. Some of these people just now, they're marrying people after they've only known them for 2 months, and usually they met them on a computer today. They don't, you know, even the kids today don't even know how to talk to each other. So that's a strange thing for me. That's what a brother had to do, had to have a rap when he was, you know, could talk to his sister. Hey, baby, what's your name? You sure it's beautiful. That's where it's country people used to talk. Anyway, time, resources, you got to have some time. You got to have some resources. You get ready to get married, you better have a credit card with nothing on it. Amen. Also, money, you have to spend money. You have to utilize money. Even with God, you have to spend money. Why? Because you want to keep the message going. You want to keep the church open so it can bring other people to Christ. You need energy. You need patience. I'm running through these real quick. You need to respect one another. Most of all, you need to love one another. Amen. And with that, number 8 is creativity. That I call it romance. You can't allow your love life with your wife or your husband to get dull. Yeah, you love each other, but where is it going? What's your hope and your dreams? And what are the things that you did before you got married that you don't do anymore? You need, if you're going to have a relationship, you got it. And that's with even other human beings, your mother, your father, your sisters, and your brothers. It ought to be a creative thing with that. That creativity, where you're always seeking how you can please them even more. So I tried to give this to you without any stories or anything to relate to, but there was one guy that when he got married, one of the things he would do is, with his wife, he would hide gifts Every day he'd hide a gift in the house. It might be some chocolate, it might be, oh, some money. It could be anything. Whatever was on his mind, a book or whatever he thought that she might like and approve of. And it got to the point where his wife looked for those gifts every day. And for 45 years, they kept it up. And one day he missed. And she said, "What's wrong with you? Where's my gift?" He said, "After 45 years, it's me." Another guy, he loved his wife so much. Him and his wife were eating. And she asked him, "Won't you pass me a piece of bread, honey?" So he gave her the end piece of bread. And she said, "What you giving that end piece of bread for?" He said, "That's the favorite piece that I have. I thought I was giving you the best piece." So even with love affairs and with marriage and fellowship and all the things, even with the Lord, we'll always sometimes there'll be some misses, some hits and some misses. But understand, these 7 + 1 = 8 are the roads, I believe, are the 7 levels of relationship toward to keep a great relationship and to improve a great relationship. And I always pray to the Lord for that supernatural love. Amen? Amen. That's fresh out the bakery. That's bread out of the bakery. So I hope you eat it and enjoy it. God bless you. See you next time. Lord's coming back soon. Keep looking. Amen. Bye-bye.